You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 28th of June 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're setting our sights on the emerging markets healthcare sector. We'll consider the potential for investors, how demography and other societal changes are altering the dynamics, and we'll assess the viability of reform programs in place across the emerging market economies. We start with a broad overview of the emerging market healthcare sector. What kind of opportunity does this area represent, and how does it fit into a long-term investment strategy? Simon Smiles is UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth.
I think it plays to a natural inclination of particularly our larger clients to look at long-term thematics and invest around those. You know, unlike professional money managers, the clients I tend to speak to can take a longer-term view. They don't have to mark to market. They're thinking about their longer-term wealth preservation and growth. And so when you look at a sector like emerging market healthcare, it plays very much into long-term trends like aging, like population growth, even urbanisation. And while we often focus on the developed world when it comes to the first of those demographics, actually, aging in emerging markets is happening incredibly rapidly.
What is the scale of the opportunities that exist here? Very significant, says Carl Beresford, UBS equity thematic analyst based in Hong Kong, who looks at equity themes through APAC.
The potential for growth in emerging market healthcare is tremendous. And this is highlighted by the fact that, you know, emerging markets, basically they're populated by almost half the world's population. But if we look at the value of the actual healthcare sector, it's actually relatively tiny. It's around $1.3 million. That's about half of the size of just the US market alone. So, you know, you have a multiple of the population of the US. You have a healthcare sector that's actually still at a very sort of early stage of growth. So you can see the potential. And of course, you know, this gap in basic healthcare spending is not going to be breached overnight. And this is one of the reasons we've highlighted this as sort of a structural, secular, long-term theme. So I think it's quite an exciting time to look at this sector when you look at some of the developments in some of these emerging markets.
For a corporate industry view, here's Alex Lee, the CFO of Fresenius Kabi in Taiwan, a subsidiary of the German-listed pharmaceutical group Fresenius.
Where I see healthcare right now is healthcare in Asia is about 10 years behind where consumer and retail is. So you saw the big consumer and retail boom in Asia Pacific over the last 10 years, and that's exactly where healthcare is going right now. And the reasons for that are basically that the populations are growing, you know, we're developing very fast, we're getting aging population, and also that people here are getting richer and they're demanding better services, better healthcare. And there's a lot of pressure on the governments basically to spend a lot more money taking care of their people, which is where, you know, you have the, you know, places like the United States who have a ridiculously high spend on healthcare. You know, it's because there are people demanding so much welfare support.
There are a number of very significant demographic and societal trends that are important when considering the emerging markets healthcare sector. How challenging are these trends to deal with? Simon Smiles explains.
I think from a country perspective, these are actually potentially dire with respect to what they imply for fiscal spending, spending on healthcare, the drag on consumers' incomes, an ever-increasing amount of this is spent on healthcare. And some of the numbers, for example, in China are just unbelievable. I mean, they're targeting an ambitious sort of 8 trillion yuan industry by 2020. That's a sevenfold increase from just 2011 levels. In part, trying to take some of the burden from the population, which is rapidly aging, back to the state. But when you actually look from an investment perspective, I actually find these relatively unproblematic. It's very hard in the near term to work out what the Fed's going to do, exactly when they're going to raise rates, or what's going to happen with the current Greece issues. However, to plot out how the world over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years is likely to age, to plot out how the population of both working age adults but also aged is likely to grow over that period of time, to take a look at a continuation, an estimated continuation of urbanisation trends, I mean, these things are very, very certain compared with many of the other variables shorter-term investments face.
What sort of a challenge do phenomena like growing populations, who are also ageing, and increasing urbanisation present in emerging markets? Or is it more about the opportunities that these changes create? Carl Beresford again.
In emerging markets, you tend to think of, you know, high levels of fertility and higher population growth than developed markets, but actually that's not necessarily the case, and it's a bit of a misnomer. And we see rapid demographic aging in several developing markets like China, Thailand. And when you think of aging, there are a lot of issues there. So you think of shrinking labor force, rising inflation, etc. But yes, there are certainly many opportunities there. And I think that healthcare in particular is one that you tend to see particularly a sharp rise in healthcare spending above the age of 65. So if you look at the cost of healthcare spending as a percentage of GDP, it tends to double for the demographic that's above 65, and we've already seen this in developed markets. So I think, yeah, it's definitely, we could say, a beneficiary of this graying trend in emerging markets. It's one of the sectors, you could say, that is going to see rising spending as a result of just greater demand for healthcare services from an aging population.
One thing that's very important is to consider healthcare as a strategic sector, particularly from a government point of view, says Alex Lee.
In terms of opportunities, as I've mentioned, I mean, these aging populations and, you know, urbanization, it's basically increasing the demand for healthcare, and it's increasing the demand for good healthcare, so increasing the demand for quality products. So for a foreign multinational, one of the biggest opportunities for us is that, for example, the Chinese consumer wants to have a foreign brand name on their product, even if that product is made in a local production plant in China. You know, they'll still prefer that product just because it's got branded with a foreign name. In terms of the challenges, look, healthcare is a strategic sector for all governments. So it is not easy to just go in and take large market share. You can't just do that. There's a lot of lobbying that needs to be done. And typically governments in China or Indonesia, they won't let you do that. And a lot of the relationships with government hospitals are held by local people or local companies. So you really need to work the environment in order to get in there. You can't just put in your product and expect it's going to succeed.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the reform packages being implemented across emerging markets and assess their chances of success. Crucial then to the ongoing development of this sector, as we've been hearing, are changes within emerging market economies. But what are the reform packages these governments are putting in place? Can they keep pace with increasing demand? Take a market like China, for example. We asked Carl Beresford, how ready is China, which has traditionally spent less than 5% of its GDP on healthcare?
You've highlighted a market, China, which is very significant and is a key player within this whole emerging market theme. I mean, if you just look at spending on healthcare as a percentage of GDP, of course, emerging markets are absolutely nowhere near where developed markets are, and developed markets have been criticized for overspending on public healthcare system. Well, with emerging markets, they've been criticized for underspending. So there's certainly been a huge lag, or let's say there's been underinvestment, which is understandable because they're emerging markets. And, you know, governments are typically strapped for cash in many emerging market economies. And it's reflected basically in the supply of healthcare services. Now, if you look across the sort of the whole gamut of emerging markets, the range of what governments have spent on healthcare is actually quite broad. So you go from the lowest, which is actually China, historically around 5% of GDP, to the highest, which is South Africa, 9% of GDP, which is actually quite close to a global average of around 10%. China is very relevant because, of course, it's been one of the chief underspenders in healthcare, and this is actually very much at odds with its economic blueprint over the next couple of decades.
China and other emerging markets do offer exciting opportunities, especially as public sector provision expands. Alex Lee takes up the story.
I think it's going to take some time, and that's the truth. I mean, you know, I think if you look at countries like China or India, Indonesia, these massive populations, it will take some time for them to get there in terms of the amount of investment they're going to put in. You know, speaking from my own experience in Taiwan, for example, we have universal healthcare in Taiwan. That means that everybody, you know, in Taiwan is entitled to effectively free healthcare, similar to the NHS in the UK. And this is the model that most countries are moving towards. So if you look at Indonesia is claiming that it will get universal healthcare coverage, I think it's 2018 or 2020, something like that. You know, and that's really what's exciting, because you're getting these major players coming into the market, which is effectively the government, guaranteeing healthcare spend. And that's why it's interesting for a pharmaceutical company to be there, you know, because there's such a guaranteed volume of spending going through.
So will these markets respond to the challenge? It's going to be hugely complex, says William Wong, COO at Crown One Asset Management in Hong Kong.
For example, like countries like China, for the government to make such decision is not going to be easy. We have seen the healthcare sector or some of the pharmaceutical companies in China have exponential growth over the past 5 to 8 years. But they are also being tied by the business practice in China as well. So it's both a blessing and a curse. For example, like China, right over the past 5 years, again, the private sector has been growing tremendously, especially in cities like Shanghai and Beijing. On the other hand, for the public sector, the standard hasn't really been improving over the past 20 years. That is the sad part.
So these are some of the key background trends and opportunities. The next question is, how to invest to gain exposure to these areas? Do publicly listed equities offer the best route? As Carl Beresford explains, there are a range of options across private equity, indexes, and beyond.
I think there are a couple of ways. I mean, and they both have pros and cons. The private equity tends to be, particularly in Asia and the China market, is one vehicle for access, but it's less visible, maybe more difficult to access. You have the typical illiquidity issues and possibly even transparency issues with private equity in the China healthcare space. The other one is we do have publicly listed companies. Unfortunately, healthcare companies, if you look at their weighting on country indices of emerging markets, still tend to be quite small.
What's the best way to invest, according to Simon Smiles?
Look, from a listed space, we recommend a broad exposure. So the EM Healthcare Equities Index broad. We also have a list of preferred stocks within that we talk to our clients about. But there are also a range of direct and private equity opportunities linked directly to this theme and more broadly. You know, be it hospitals, be it in a correlative fashion nursing homes, be it actual medical companies themselves. So we have clients looking across the full spectrum, from indices, from funds, to single equities, private equity, to direct investment opportunities.
So much for the plus side of investment strategy in emerging market healthcare. But what are the main risks associated with investing in this area? Or does the inelasticity of demand for healthcare simply outweigh any such concerns? Alex Lee explains how volatility shapes the market and the value chain.
The risk of stagnation in emerging markets is relatively low because, as you mentioned, it's an inelastic market. And more important, it's not a high beta market. You know, it's not volatile. You know, even when if the whole world is crashing down, we still need healthcare. You know, I mean, even in times of crisis, for example, you just look at something like MERS in Korea, right? You know, something that is actually sending, you know, the whole Korean market down, but actually the demand for healthcare is going up. You know, even the demand for the whole value chain of healthcare, actually, because you're looking at, you know, firstly trying to get a vaccine for MERS, which there isn't. And you're also trying to, you know, even people who provide masks, they're experiencing a huge uplift in demand just because of this. So, I mean, I'm very bullish on the healthcare sector in general, and I think these risks, yes, we might be slow. We're not going to grow sort of 50, 60% every year in the good times like a tech company, but there will be a very steady 10, 20% growth of the sector, you know, and it might slow to maybe 5 or 7%.
In emerging markets, is there a risk of stagnation to set off against the inelasticity of demand for these services across an economic cycle? Carl Beresford again.
You've highlighted clearly one of the defensive qualities of healthcare in that demand is relatively inelastic across an economic cycle. So in that sense, it's positive. But then on the other hand, part of our thesis is underpinned by an increase in governments, of emerging market government spending, China, for example, in healthcare. Of course, emerging market economic growth has been weak. Commodity markets have been part of the reason for that weak commodity market. And there is a risk that they're not going to recover quite as fast as maybe capital markets expect. And if government public deficits remain pressured and we have weak emerging market currencies, you know, that could work to the detriment of the idea of raising spending on public health care. Having said that, we believe it's become quite an urgent issue, or even you could say a strategic one for emerging market governments, because you've got issues of rapid aging of population and, you know, the rising burden of out-of-pocket expenses. So it's one that, I mean, it's possible that even in a situation where you have more stagnant growth, that governments could prioritize raising spending in healthcare at the cost of maybe other public expenditure outlays. And that's something I think that we're already starting to see in some cases. So I think that the risks are there, but bear in mind that it is a defensive sector, and also it's acquired a strategic importance within government budgets in emerging markets.
And that's Carl Beresford of UBS in Hong Kong, bringing us to the end of this 38th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance, every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com, or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.